Amen. Please be seated. Well, we've been working our way through Isaiah's prophecy this Advent season. You've been hearing about that all the way through the service tonight. And one of the important aspects of Isaiah's prophecy about Jesus was that it was written 700 years before Jesus arrived. That's important because, in a way, Isaiah was introducing the coming Savior to the world, letting the world know what he would be like before he arrived. Knowing what someone is really like really makes a difference when we meet them for the first time. We wonder to ourselves, are they going to be safe? Are they going to be loving? And in a sense, Isaiah's prophecy reached out all of that time before Jesus' arrival to assure the world that yes, Jesus was safe, Jesus was loving, and Jesus had come to rescue the world. Maybe those of us who are parents and grandparents could take a few notes from Isaiah about preparing someone to meet someone else. Because when it comes to our Christmas traditions, and we take that precious little child or grandchild of ours, and we stick them on Santa's lap, we don't always anticipate how they're going to respond. We haven't done this for a couple years, but I have a few Santa photos for you tonight. So let's roll the first one up there and see how the preparation worked. I don't think she was prepared. I don't think she knew what was coming, and the look of sheer terror on that poor little girl's face almost breaks my heart. Let's see the next one. That's little Ellie Miller, if those of you know the Miller family from years ago, expressing herself while she sat on Santa's lap. Let's see the next one. This one brings not just terror, but also despair into the picture. You kind of see a woe is me coming out of this child's life and his experience. How about the next one? Every time I see this picture, I think this little kid's like, if I sit really, really still, he won't hurt me, you know? Can we see the next one? I don't think that's fear. I think that's disgust. That's like, I'm going to see you outside in the back alley after this encounter, Santa. How about the next one? I don't think it's his idea to go for the picture that day, do you? How about the next one? There's a couple in a row that are coming up right now where siblings are sitting on Santa's lap, and it's just so fascinating to see how one is having one experience and the other is having the exact opposite experience. I don't know if there was some Benadryl administered to the gentleman on the right, but boy, they are having different experiences. In fact, Santa doesn't even look like he's having a very good time in that picture. How about the next one? Oh yeah, that's a classic. Jack and Mitchell having very different experiences with Santa on this particular year. How about the next one? Again, you see the sibling thing going on, right? One perfectly at peace, the other having a nightmare. Next one. Here we see a little bit of bribery going on. The candy cane in the hand, and you're just wondering, maybe we can make it through the photo shoot if we give a little bit of candy along the way. Next. I mean, at some point, Santa gets worn out, too, and he's got to join the complaining along the way. How about the next picture? What I love about this one is it's an action shot. I mean, they were setting something up, but they couldn't back up quite fast enough before the getaway was underway. So I love the action that's going on there. How about the next one? This one is my little grandson, Dean, last year. And he was having none of Santa. We had all kinds of ideas in our mind of how these pictures were going to turn out, and this was the very best of all of the pictures that we took last year. But then what a difference a year makes. Let's see the next one. There he is this year. He and Santa were friends this year. Somehow, along the way, we as good parents and grandparents helped him to see that Santa was safe and loving, just as Isaiah made sure we knew that Jesus was the same. Well, Isaiah has been revealing Jesus by revealing the names of Jesus all along the way. And each one of these names tells something about who Jesus was. The first name that we studied was Wonderful Counselor. And we talked that week about the fact that Jesus was the wisdom of God, the very wisdom of God incarnate, walking this earth, showing people exactly what the wisdom of God was like. The second name Isaiah offered was Mighty God. And mighty God had this way of showing that God's unlimited power, which was being used to rescue the world, was contained in a tiny baby. This past Sunday, we considered Everlasting Father, and we considered this unending passion that God has for all of us, that we can trust in the power of His love, and that we can fall into His embrace. Tonight, we'll talk briefly about the final name, Prince of Peace. Our text all the way through this has been Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Prince of Peace. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. Peace can be defined as a state of tranquility or quiet, of security or order, of harmony and personal relations, living a life without suppression. In everyday life, we encounter peace. Sometimes it's on a bumper sticker that says, visualize world peace, which if we're honest, these days is really difficult to visualize. Or maybe we hear it coming out of a parent's mouth where they say, can I just get a little bit of peace and quiet? But true peace is so much more than these sentiments. True peace is the full essence of the much more that's contained in the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom is not just about the absence of war, the absence of conflict, or absence of noise or disturbance, but it's rather about the presence of something deeply needed. Shalom speaks of well-being, of completeness, of soundness, of prosperity, of blessing, and of wholeness. It's this shalom peace and nothing less that Jesus came to bring to the world, and he came to bring to each of us. So how do we go about finding and experiencing this peace? It's one thing to celebrate all of the promises of Christmas and to say that Jesus is all of these things, including our Prince of Peace, but how do we find and experience what is being talked about here? If Jesus has come 2,000 years ago, how do we experience it? I believe there are three unique experiences of his peace which are made available to every human on earth. The first of these is peace with God. He came to bring peace with God, and we have to start here because nothing else makes sense without peace with God. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in the book of Ephesians, verses 12 through 18. Listen to what he says. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promises, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with all its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. To begin with, Jesus, our Prince of Peace, provides peace with God. No matter how far we may have wandered, no matter how distant God may seem, the gift of Jesus, this Prince of Peace, provides us the chance for a peace with the living God. Secondly, Jesus provides peace of God, the peace of God. This is a beautiful gift made available to those who believe, and it's mentioned beautifully in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Those verses say this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is different than peace with God. This peace of God is something we experience in the here and now. It's a day-to-day experience, a little bit of that peace and quiet that parents long for at times. And it's built upon peace with God, but it's empowered by the Holy Spirit who resides within us. Advent's this interesting season because we tend to focus on the season that's right in front of us. But when we reach the Advent season, we are looking backward to not even 2,000 years ago, but even beyond them, when the nation of Israel was longing for Jesus to come. Then he makes his entrance, his grand entrance 2,000 years ago, and we celebrate that story as we gather on a night like tonight. But then we also gaze far into the future for the time when Jesus returns once again. That aching and longing that the nation of Israel felt, we climb into as we ache and long for Jesus to return, to build his kingdom here, to make everything right. That Prince of Peace is going to establish his kingdom in that way in the future. But here we are right in the middle. Here we are stuck in between those extremes. And that can feel desolate, that can feel lonely, that can feel discouraging to us as people. And into this space where we live now, we are reminded by Jesus, our Prince of Peace, that he resides within us by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus departed earth, he gave us his presence and said, my presence will now reside within you until I come again to rescue you. And his presence within us is what brings his peace to our everyday lives. No matter what the news says, no matter what we experience in this world, his peace living inside of us, a peace that passes all understanding. So peace with God, the peace of God, and finally that peace everlasting that we were just talking about. A day will come for perfect peace. And we read about it in Micah 5, verses 2 through 5. There we read, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. Here's his promise. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. Another prophecy from an ancient prophet looking forward and promising that this peace, this everlasting peace, will come where we can live in security, where the peace itself will not be here and there, but will reach to the very ends of the earth. And not a brief respite from war and turmoil, but a peace that is absolutely unending. When we talk about Advent, we talk about Christmas, and we talk about the arrival of our Savior, this Prince of Peace, that's what we celebrate. The fact that this gift has come. The gift is Jesus. Jesus is the only one who will bring peace with God, who will provide us the peace of God, and who gives us that solid promise of peace everlasting. And so we have to ask ourselves when we enter into a season like this, have we acknowledged this gift? Have we accepted this gift? Have we unwrapped this gift? Have we opened the gift and experienced all that Jesus has to bring? This gift is far too valuable to risk turning it down based on what someone else has said about it or a past negative experience. Perhaps this Christmas is the time for you to experience the gift of Jesus afresh and anew. If you've yet to know and experience this peace of Christ that we've spoken of this evening, may peace with God and the peace of God be your greatest gifts this Christmas. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we ache and long for your return. We join in the array of emotions that the nation of Israel felt as they awaited for you to make your first appearance. And here we are stuck in the middle, waiting for you to return. And yet on a night like tonight, we feel the hope that you and only you can provide. We see in history the way you entered in and you became the face of God to the world. We cling to what you have taught, to the hope and the peace that you left with us. And we long, cannot wait for you to return. Help us this Christmas to fully receive who you are, the fullness of the gift that you brought, not just the trappings of a season, but your promise of a good life following you, blessed to be a blessing in this world. And so thankful for your love and grace at work in this world, and at work in each of our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.